I want somebody that's young and strong to take a lap for Brother Jimmy Green. And somebody that's young and strong to take a lap for Sister Elder, Sister Hagedorn. Somebody that's able in their body to shout tonight for Sister Stella Biscotta. There's something that's got to shout down on the inside, but they don't have the physical capacity anymore. Praise God. Praise God. Well, glory. Well, we've already had more church here tonight than I had in the first 15 years of my life. Praise God. Just a few comments pursuing what we began this morning. Psalms 145. And the first four verses, just to begin, praise God. We have reviewed, for all intents and purposes, we've reviewed beginning the service and the tutorial on worship. Because this morning we covered David dancing with all of his might down Main Street and Jehoshaphat sending the choir in for the battle and the battle being decided before the army ever got there. We talked about Paul and Silas singing in the dungeon in the darkness of a midnight and the shaking of God coming upon the prison and the house being opened up and everybody going free. We talked about all that this morning, and it is a discussion of the theology of praise and worship that is permeating the Word of God. It is inescapable as you read God's Word, the pervasive influence of worship, and you wonder how modern quasi-Christianity, pseudo-Christianity, non-biblical Christianity got to where it is in that it's lost its worship and its praise, because all of the biblical models are models of activity and intensity and worship and raucous, noisy worship. When they lay the foundation of the New Jerusalem or the rebuilt Jerusalem in the days of Ezra, the sound of their shouting was so loud it could be heard from miles away. Praise God. And the scripture is very plain that everything that has breath should praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I think that probably we've already hit a peak of some sort in the emotional trend of this service. And I don't have any ambition to shove you up past anywhere you've already been or get any, elicit any type of specific response out of you. We're just going to deal with the Word of God tonight. Praise God. Again. And so we have already pretty much reviewed what we did this morning, with the exception that there has always been a challenge to worship. It's the snake in the garden. It's the 14th chapter of Isaiah where Satan said, I will ascend above the sides of the north. I will be like the Most High God. And he wanted God's worship. And when he met Jesus in the wilderness, he said, if you will bow down and worship me, all this can be yours. When he sets up in the temple as the Antichrist, he's going to demand worship. That's what he wants. The Bible tells us about a group of people in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4 that for the witness of Jesus, because they would not take the mark and because they would not worship the beast. Now, I'll just tell you who that is. The Jews aren't on board yet. The world doesn't worship the name of Jesus. The church is the only one that fits that criteria there tonight. And we've already made up our mind. There's only one focus for our worship. There's only one who is worthy of the worship. He's the one we've been praising and magnifying in this house tonight. Let's give him a hand praise and worship right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, praise God. Well, glory to God. He has an agenda. He wanted in the first two chapters of Job, he wanted to make Job curse God to God's face. Or if you would, he wanted to steal Job's heart of worship. But from under the crushing boot heel of Satan's assault on Job, Job extends that little hand up. He's crushed down into the dirt. And he said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed is the name of the Lord. My God, what a tower of example for us tonight. And in our troubles and in our problems, it gives God great glory. And there probably is a mathematical relationship to the type of trial you're going through and the power of the praise that you utter. Because Job wasn't dancing and shouting. He was laid out on his face and his heart was torn and his garments were torn. But I'm telling you, he thundered through the regions of hell when he lifted up that hand and he said, but I still bless the name of the Lord. And when Habakkuk said, everything I have is ruined and everything I have is lost, but yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. I will joy in the Lord. Praise God. It resonates. So if you're sick in your body tonight and you praise him, your praise resounds with greater magnitude than when we praise him and we're healthy. When you're broke and you're busted and you still lift up your hand and say, devil, I still believe God's my provider and God's going to take care of me. When you open up your mouth and say, God is a higher reality than that I see all around me in circumstance. It resounds through heaven. It resounds through hell. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I kind of like wearing the tennis shoes. I didn't wear new tennis shoes tonight, and I didn't bring new ones. These have been with me. These are my prayer walk tennis shoes. About 3 miles a day, about 5 days a week. It's about 750 miles a year, and I've had these over a year. And they're starting to take on water. I've worn through the bottom of them here. These shoes have heard some prayer. If these shoes could talk. So I kind of feel there's an extra anointing on these shoes. They don't look like much to you, but I'm really, really hard-pressed to throw them away. And they're not much good because they're leaking a little bit now. But they really feel good in the house of the Lord. They've been wanting to come to church all this time. Praise God. And I ask you to wear your tennis shoes tonight, kind of tongue-in-cheek. But, you know, if you wear something that restricts your worship, you're wearing the wrong stuff. I don't see how you walk in those shoes, ladies, much less worship in them. And I'm not trying to give you a hard time. I'd break my ankle just walking across the floor in that. You know, but you've got grace and style, and you can handle all that equipment for the feet. But I just wanted to say, maybe in just this service tonight, that we come prepared to worship. We come ready to worship. We come with an exuberance in our heart to give it all to God, to pour it all out in a worship service, and to stagger out the door with nothing left. Because the world does that for their sports gods, and the world does that for its business venture, and the world does that for what it pursues. How much more should we pour ourselves out in worship, in the presence of the Lord? Well, praise God. Praise God. And in the garden, he came to him and he said, has God said? And he said, you won't die. And he said, God knows that if you eat of the tree, then you'll be as gods. And he's undermining the relationship with God, because true praise and worship is a number of things. But one of the things it is it's relationship. It's relationship. We praise him. We have a relationship with him. We know him. We love him. We magnify him. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And this morning in Ephesians chapter 3, we talked about the fact that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, God is going to manifest his eternal wisdom in the fact of what he's done in his church. God's going to show those fallen principalities that he's created a group of people, given birth to children and a bride on the earth that will worship him in an imperfect environment. When Satan and his angels would not worship God in a perfect environment. So you're doing a lot when you praise God. You're magnifying God. You're obeying the word of God. You're saying, watch this devil. You're radiating out to all those who are around you. And we're going to go in that direction a little bit here tonight. For 145, beginning in verse 1. Everyone say, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Clap your hands. Lift up your voice. Give him praise for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We magnify you, Lord God. We worship you. We lift you up. God, you're so good to give us your word tonight. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And the question looms in the house. Are you still going to try to have church? Are you still going to try to worship God? My God, if you're out of gas already, you'd make a pathetic Auburn or Alabama fan. I mean, they've got it down to the fourth quarter. They're still leaping and shouting over a stupid football game. We're talking about life everlasting. We're talking about your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're talking about eternal life in the presence of God. My God, yes. My God, yes. I want the devil to know we've got what it takes to go four quarters with him. We've got enough commitment. We got first-time babies in this house running the aisles. Praise God. Now, you know why they're doing that? Because they see the church doing that. Well, we're gonna get there in a minute. Verse 1. See, it's pathetic. We didn't even get to verse 1 this morning. Verse 1. Everyone say, I will extol thee, O Lord. My God. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's my God. He's my King. Praise God. You've got to take ownership of this. This is not my mama's church. This is not my daddy's church. This is not my traditional church. This is not Brother Sutton's church. This is my church. This is my service. This is my blessing. This is my Jesus. This is my word of God. This is my promise. Got to take ownership of this. You'll never praise God. You'll be a spectator. Spectators don't take ownership of this. Worshipper, you know what you do when you stand on your feet and the word of God's being preached? You're practicing some of the dynamics of life in general, the ebb and flow of life, the sowing and the receiving of life. The word of God is seed coming at you, and you're saying, I receive it. That's what amen says. That's what your response says. But if you sit like this during a church service, you're saying, well, I'm going to wait. I'm going to judge. I'm going to analyze. I'm going to scrutinize. Oh, yeah. It never was meant to be a spectator sport. You got to receive this. You got to receive the word of God. You got to receive the worship. You got to receive the Holy Ghost. I didn't get nothing out of that service tonight. Well, I can just tell you what your disposition was going in and going out. You can't raise anything. The parable of the sower is so powerful for us. You can't raise anything in hard ground. Can't penetrate. Can't get to you with the word of God. You got to open up. Hit me again, God. Give it to me again. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious. I will extol thee, O God. My King. Everyone say my King. My King. It indicates submission. It indicates sovereignty. It indicates that he is Lord over your life. My liege, my king, my ruler, my authority. That means I do what he says. I do what pleases him. The story of Esther is so powerful because Esther gets to be the queen. And Esther's chosen by the king. Esther's a type of the Gentile church. Vashti is a type of Israel who refused to come out when the king called. But Esther's a little girl that comes up from nowhere. She's a type of the Gentile church. And she learns from those that are near the king. She learns what the king loves. She learns what the king wants. And she does all of those things. And that's what we want to do tonight. He's my king. There's nobody like him. Who can put stars in the heaven? Who can bring forth spring out of the dead grasp of wintertime? Who can put flight in the wings of a bird and touch the earth with flowers and the song of nature? Who has the power to form the little baby's bones within the womb and bring forth that little miracle? Who's got power like that? I want to be close to him. I want to do what he says. I want to learn his ways. His ways are above my ways. Like the heavens are above the earth. Don't you love him tonight? Don't you love him tonight? Isn't he awesome tonight? Isn't he awesome? My God. He's my God. Everybody say he's my God. He's my king. And I will bless his name. Say I'll bless his name. And here in this house tonight, we know his name. I said in this house, we know his name. It's a name above every name. His name is Jesus. It's a name that every knee and every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess to. The name of Jesus. It's the only name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Ghost. He's my God, my King, and I know his name. Praise God. Give your neighbor a high five and tell him, I know the name of the King. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody here, did you take on his name in baptism? Have you received the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father? We not only know his name, we bear his name. Praise God. And the psalmist said, I'm going to bless your name forever and ever. Everybody say forever and ever. What do you think you're going to be doing over on the other side? What do you think you're going to be doing around the throne of God? This is just practice. This is just warm. And I'm extremely limited here because my body's a little bit old and my body's a little bit crotchety and I've got a few aches and pains and I never was able to slam dunk from the top of the key. I just never had that physical ability. I've had a little bit of restriction here. But you know what? When I get that new body, my God, my God, my God. When I get that new body, there's going to be nothing like it. Woo! Everybody say forever and ever. You're not going to go fishing forever, but you're going to praise him forever. You're not going to work that job forever, but you're going to praise him forever. You won't live in that house forever, but you'll praise him forever. You won't even go to this church forever, but you'll praise him forever. Knowledge helps you prioritize. You got to understand that on my list of priorities, things that I'm only going to be doing in a temporal sense have to take a lower position than those things that are going to be forever. I'm going to serve him forever. I'm going to praise him forever. I'm going to live with him forever. I'm going to live over there forever. I don't want to sink my roots too deeply here. I won't stay here forever. But I'm not even going to live in this body forever. Now watch, because your priorities will cause you to be affected in your emotion. And it's a shame when you're losing temporal things and you're upset when you still have forever things. Because the forever things, they matter far more than the temporary, than the temporal things. Praise God. And I like preaching here. I'd rather preach here than anywhere I've ever preached. I'm not kidding. I preached at the Rock Church. I'd rather preach at New Life. I'm just telling you, this is a fun place to preach. Verse 2. I'm going to turn you loose at 8:30. Don't be afraid. Verse 2. Everybody say, every day will I bless thee. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. There it is again. Forever and ever. I'm going to be praising God forever. I need to get good at praising God. If you're lousy at praising God here, tell me something. How do you expect down here to be this kind of praiser? And then you're going to be in that picture where John sees an innumerable crowd of people around the throne of God. And they are worshiping and praising and magnifying God. You're going to be sitting like this around the throne of God? Oh, no. Well, when I get there, then I'll do that. No, no. You're a knothead. You need to understand this. Life doesn't work that way. Jobs don't work that way. School. When I get to college, then I'm going to really work. You won't get to college. Well, when I get the big job, then I'll really work. You won't ever get the big job. Well, when I find the right woman, then I'll really shape up and I'll really be a man. You won't ever get the right woman. And if you don't learn how to worship him here, I got a feeling you're not going to be worshiping him over there. You got to know how to worship God. You better learn how to worship God. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Praise him on stringed instruments. Praise him on organs. Praise him with timbrels. And praise him in the dance. Praise God. Praise God. Everybody say, every day I will praise him. Tell your neighbor, praise does not have a bad day. Sister Sutton's dad is Cajun French. And we're starting to compile a list of Steve-isms. He calls President Clinton. He said, oh, that man's a botanical liar. I think he means pathological, but I'm not sure. And he was pontificating some theology to his daughter the other day. And he said, and you know, a day with the Lord is better than 1,000 elsewhere. There are no bad days in the kingdom of God. Oh, I'm telling you, there are no bad days in the kingdom of God. The prophecy that came forth tonight, when I'm hungry, he's my bread. When I'm thirsty, he's my drink. When I'm in trouble, he's my deliverance. And I'd rather be in the kingdom of God with hardness than out in the fat of the world without the knowledge of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now this psalmist, this is David, and David says in Psalms 118, he cries out and says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we've talked about this before in the tutorial. How can you say that? How can you say in the beginning of the day, this is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice, or we will rejoice? You don't even know what kind of day it's going to be. You may get up, your wife may beat you with a rolling pin. That's not a good start for a day. You're going to be praising God then? You don't know. You might get the pink slip today. You just can't tell. You can't tell, Brother Travis. You might follow the wrong fella and wind up in difficulty. This is rude. I shouldn't tell private jokes in the middle of a public place. But you don't know what kind of day it's going to be. But the psalmist said this. He said, I've already made up my mind. I've already committed my heart and my mind that whatever the day is, whatever the day holds, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to joy in the God of my salvation. I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation. I'm going to rejoice. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Rejoicing is by will. It's by cognition. It's by decision. You decide to rejoice or you decide to mourn. You decide to rejoice or you decide to drag your feet. And I'm not talking about feelings. Feelings have nothing to do with the kingdom of God or living for God. Love is not what you feel. Love is what you do. Faith is not what you feel. Faith is what you do. I could stop. We could do a lesson, but we don't have time for it tonight. But it resonates with your spirit. You know that it's true. The world doesn't understand that. They think love is what you feel. That's why they marry 20 times. That's why Hollywood can't stay connected. The thrill is gone. But love is committed. And when we come to God, this is God's day. I will rejoice. Praise God. You took a vow. You married today. You're going to be married tomorrow. The next day. Following day. You anticipate difficulty. So you plan to jump ship? To treat her like she's last week's news? No, that's right, because you got a covenant. You took a vow. When I came to an altar, I said, God, I don't want to go to hell. You save me and I'll serve you. It's a covenant for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, sickness and in health. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, rejoicing is something we can understand. It's like, woo. I'm crying on the inside, though. My heart is broken, which, you know, we do that sometimes. We've already made up our mind. But he doesn't leave it at that. He said, I will be glad. You talk about powerful and compartmentalizing. He takes the source of his anguish, puts it up on a shelf, and says to it, you nor the demonic hell that belched you out, you don't have the power to steal my relationship with God, nor my joy in the kingdom of God. You may still be with me, but I'm going to put you up on a shelf, and I'm going to worship, and I'm going to magnify God, and I'm going to think about the things of God when I think of his goodness and all he's done for me, when I think of his goodness and how he set me free. My God, yes, 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 yes. Praise God. Well, you folks are just kind of wild. Well, we know what we're shouting about. Your theology creates a culture. We have a theology of celebration and victory. We believe God can do anything. And so we have a culture of worship and a culture of praise where those things are placed in high value. Praise God. Nehemiah, at the building of the temple and the walls of the rebuilt Jerusalem, the people, when they saw the rebuilding, they realized, the elders realized, how pitiful it was compared to Solomon's. And then when they heard the word of God, they knew how terribly they had failed and how awful the judgment of God had been. And they began to weep and mourn in that day. They were on a timeline in a particular place, and they weren't with David, and they weren't with Solomon, and they weren't at the zenith of Israel's power and its wealth and influence. They were just a handful, a remnant coming back out of captivity, and they had to look at charred timbers and scorched walls, and the stones were all torn down, and the articles of the temple were stolen away, and then the treasure house of Babylon, and they came back, and they're trying to put it all back together, and they start weeping and mourning, and Nehemiah said, stop it! He said, this day is holy unto the Lord. Your circumstances may be pitiful. Your past may lie in ragged ruins, but this is the day the Lord has made. This day is holy unto God. He said, here's what you do. Nehemiah 8 and 10. Here's what you do. You eat the fat. In the middle of all the trouble, find something good. Drink the sweet. In the middle of all the confusion, find something sweet. And eat that. And he said, and save a portion for those that have none. He said, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You can't rebuild this. You can't rebuild this without joy in your life. You can't do this without joy in your life. You can't live for him without joy in your life. You can't stay in this without joy in your life. Well, I'm talking about your salvation. You wonder why the devil wants to steal your joy? You can't do this without joy. You'll be dead on the pew. You gotta have joy. This is a day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. Praise God. Well, as this goes, verse 3 and verse 4 have to do with the greatness of the Lord and generational transfer. Now, we may visit these topics next Sunday, but we're about to make our way into Alabama Revival Conference. And I told you I'd let you go at 8:30, and I am, because this kind of goes on and on in the same direction. And let's do this. Let's gather down around the altar tonight. And Lindsay, can we have that thing y'all did this morning? Forever and ever. Praise God. If you're first down here, step up on the steps, because you'll need to make room for those that are coming behind you. And when you get here, I want you to just begin to renew your commitment. God, I'm going to be found praising you. Lord God, there's going to be a voice in this city. If you're a parent, you need to be saying, I'm going to be praising God for these children. The rest of this psalm goes on. One generation shall declare thy praise unto another. These children, these young people need to know what it's like to be in a house of worship and in a house of praise. For your strength, for your joy, for your anointing, you need to be a praiser of the Most High God. Come on, let's praise him together. Come on, all over this altar, let's praise him. Lift up your voice to him. Sing it unto him as a commitment.
I will.
Sing
hallelujah. I will. Forever. Ever.
I will.
I will sing hallelujah.
Take somebody by the hand. Come on, praise the Lord with somebody.
I will.
Praise God. Come on, lift up your voice, clap your hands. Hallelujah. Whoa. Forever. Praise God. Ask your neighbor, how long are you going to be praising God? Well, you got to answer that. Now, turn to him and ask him, which days of the week are you going to praise God? You got to answer the question.
Yeah.
Every day. Praise God. Once more, let's give God praise for these that were baptized and these that were